The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, hello everyone, and welcome. And I wanted to begin today with reading the poem that I didn't have handy yesterday, and then say a few more words. And this is an enlightenment poem by the nun Patachara. She's one of the foremost women teachers in the time of the Buddha, teachers of many of the nuns. And this is her poem that she wrote. And with feet washed, I watch the water, the foot-washing water, flow from high ground to low. She's sitting outside of her hut. It's the evening. Maybe it's starting to get dark. And before going to retire to her room, to her hut, she's washing her feet. People walked barefoot back then, and when I was a monk in Burma, we had the same custom of washing our feet before going into a house or something, because walking around barefoot. So with feet washed, I watched the water, the foot-washing water, flow from high ground to low. With this, like a thoroughbred horse, my mind concentrated. Taking an oil lamp, I entered my hut. I looked over the bed. I sat down on the bed. Taking a needle, I pulled out the wick. As the flame went out, the mind was freed. As the flame went out, when the light went out, the mind was free. So it's a story of freedom, of letting go. Her mind was concentrated, still, very quiet. Probably she was very absorbed and looking at the bed. She was there in the details of her, just right there and sitting down in the bed. And she was probably very, very present and nothing else on her mind. And that's why it would stand out enough to write that in a poem. Looked over her bed, sat down in her bed. And then to turn off the light, you don't flip a switch, you pull out the wick from the oil lamp. And as that disappeared, so there was no more things to be seen in the room, her mind let go in a deep way, and she was free. So she got concentrated by watching the water that she used for washing her feet. She had poured it maybe over her feet or poured it out and it was flowing down. The Buddha described the process of meditation sometimes like water flowing down a mountainside. And when it rains, the water drops fall and make the grass soil moist, and then as it's moist enough, then the water, the drops roll over the soil. As they roll, some of those drops meet each other, become bigger drops, become little trickles, become little teeny streamlets, creeks, rivers. As they go down and become creeks, they sometimes come into little pools, little cavities in the ground, and they fill the cavity and making a pool. And when it gets to the top, then it flows over and it goes down the mountain more and meets other little streamlets and creeks and maybe comes into bigger places where lakes, where it fills the lakes with water. And as the lake fills with water, and then it spills over the side and it goes down in a bigger river, in a bigger river. Eventually it comes down into the plains. And it's a huge Ganges River that now has become so huge and And now it flows silently compared to the creeks in the mountains that, you know, are going down steeper canyons and stuff. And then it flows out into the large ocean. So this idea of meditation being all these little drops of mindfulness that as we begin practicing more and more, the drops saturate us, start filling us, start being present. And then the drops of mindfulness meet. And as they meet, they start flowing. There's a continuity. There's a feeling of a little momentum, like this is a journey. Now we're on a ride. Now we're engaged. Or we're on a conveyor belt almost. It's not so much that we're the driver, we're the passenger at some point of this flow that mindfulness puts together, enough mindfulness, enough continuity in a row. And it starts to fill us in a certain way, fill parts of us, fill out. More and more of us is included, more and more of it, the body, the mind, the heart is all beginning to come along. And as it starts to fill one place, it spills over and spills out into more and creates another stream, a bigger one. And finally, when the mindfulness is really strong and steady and equanimous, then it's like the Ganges River on the plains of India, that huge, massive, strong thing that's very quiet, very still compared to the mountain creeks going over rocks and stuff. So here we are, putting our drops of mindfulness together, and so they become a stream, so they become a support to carry us and fill our mountain pools and lakes and so forth. But the idea of continuity of practice, continuous practice, putting it all together, letting it flow, in a way that so that we don't get stuck in thoughts. Because as soon as we're involved in thoughts, we stop bringing the moments of mindfulness together, the drops together. So sitting upright and sitting confidently, and being clear, maybe very clear, of the obvious, that you're in your meditation posture in a particular place at a particular time, that for each of you, each of us, is called here. Here you are, here I am. And this is the empty lake that's going to be filled with awareness, with mindfulness, watching its flow. So to begin this process of maybe awakening attention, taking a few long, slow breaths, but as you do so, being sensitive and aware of all the sensations in your torso, your ribcage, your body, that comes with a deep inhale, and it comes with relaxing on the exhale, here. Relaxing the shoulders. Relaxing the belly. And letting your breathing return to normal. And here, what can you become aware of that's a clear drop of mindfulness? Just a moment of mindfulness, nothing else. Here in this body, this mind. And And these moments of clarity, moments of, in a certain way, filled, letting yourself be filled with the awareness of mindfulness. Don't think of it as a small mental note only. Think of it as an embodiment of this moment with this in-breath, this out-breath. Here, clearly here with what you're mindful of. Letting one moment of mindfulness follow the previous, here. Relaxing here into the flow, continuity of these drops of mindfulness. If instead of calling sati mindfulness, we call it bodyfulness, and let it be the awareness that is available throughout the body. At the end of every sense nerve, we can sense, in the collection of all that capacity to sense, can give us a sense of the body full of sensitivity, full of awareness, sense of animated aliveness here, as if we're a lake filled to the brim. And when we are filled to the brim with awareness, with presence, with our aliveness, then perhaps there can be the overflowing of goodwill, the overflowing of kindness, compassion. Almost not as something that we do, but something that flows out of us. The more quiet and still we are in this bodyfulness, maybe the more our heart responds to the world. And for the good heart to respond, it helps the heart. It's good for the heart to be kind, to be generous, to care and be loving. May it be that flowing from us, flowing out of us individually and collectively, is an influence on the world that brings happiness to others. May it bring safety to others. May it bring peace to others. May it bring freedom to others. May it be that the fullness of our practice spreads welfare and happiness, well-being for the whole world.